Hey, Coach. I was just wondering, like, with this kind of just crazy, cram schedule, and you're obviously playing really good teams as well. Like, can you walk me through how you, as a coach, have kind of handled all of it? Like, pre-scouting opponents, but on then also, like, I guess, like, kind of debriefing what happened yesterday. Just kind of how have you just gone about? You have UConn Providence in 2 days coming up, and then you have just at Northeastern. Like, how have you just like, what's your process been? I guess.
I don't think there's one science or approach to it, but I think first and foremost, lean on the experts, and that's in every resource we have on our amazing staff with our program, from our assistants dividing up pre-scouts and our strength coach managing their load and getting their recovery scores, and our athletic trainer, right, making sure we're utilizing everything to its fullest, right? And I'd like to thank all the work we've put into our foundation. They're pros, and so they're taking care of themselves and how that they know too. And then from there, I mean, that's the big picture planner in me that's loves to nerd out. Like, how do you take we set consistencies from BC to UVM and make that into part of your game plan for efficiency and based on where our need is? And I think when you have a plan going into it, which we did, now we can make adjustments more efficiently and faster. And that's kind of the approach we're taking as we kind of go through the home stretch.
Theory.
Hi, Coach. How do you, with as Sam mentioned, such a tight schedule, how do you keep the team focused or get them to refocus after a game like you have on Friday against UConn and then going right into Saturday's game against a different opponent in Providence? How do you get them to move from one to the other in organized fashion and stay focused and not get caught up on anything happening either in the future or from the previous game?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, they're pros as a group. I've been just blown away by just how they've done it consistently in this home stretch with a lot of the split series and one-off bean pots, etc. But I think funny as a coach is all how you just sell them. You sell them on, selfishly on this is what we're going to try to gain from this weekend. And yes, that's 3 points, but it's always more than that. Like, all right, this opponent provides us an opportunity to work on our transition game, maybe a bit more than a different opponent might lend us to more of our D zone or sustained O zone play. Like, obviously, every game can shape up differently, but based on what we know and the work we've put in, based on where we feel we are at, what is our selfish opportunity for growth and what can we learn about ourselves in this game while we get 3 points? And so we're constantly just trying to sell that vision and frame each game, the context that exists externally, but we know our internal context for where we are in each game. Sorry, that was a long answer.
I also wanted to ask, because you just mentioned internal context. Obviously yesterday I asked you and you kind of mentioned that they're mature enough to have the external context. And obviously with UConn coming up, that's a really important game. Like, how do you think that them being at that place just kind of helps them come game day, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think it's when and I'll probably be able to give more reflection to it when the year comes to an end, but I've started to have the thoughts of like, I remember like minor hockey players when you're young, right? It's like everyone loves being the underdog. It's the easy mentality to have. Everyone loves that context. And you always hear a lot of the younger ones say, like, you have to have that underdog mentality. Well, do you though? Like, can you just give the actual context to your game, right? And be aware of it, but not let it dominate your mindset. And so I think that part of it is they're old enough now and they're mature enough and we know our strengths. And I think if you try to avoid the external noise and context, it might actually end up dominating your thoughts more than if you just let it in and then move on.
Go ahead, Eli.
So you obviously haven't played UConn yet, and you guys are what, 28 games into the season. Can you just kind of talk about maybe what it's like, or just to not play a team, or to play a team for the first time this far into the season, compared to, say, you guys played Providence, and I want to say, we'll call it the fall. So just can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, funny you referenced it because the complete opposite setup, isn't it? We're going to see a completely different Providence team that's on a hot streak versus not having seen UConn all year. And to be honest, I don't love it. And when you think about trying to be strategically competitive and control things you can, where a UConn team that's disciplined and structured and detailed, playing them at the end of the year probably isn't as ideal. It wouldn't be nice getting an early one in while they're getting their freshmen onboarded. I think you can say that about any team, but that being said, we're playing a really good opponent who's in their home stretch and who's ready to go and going to give us their best go and going into playoffs. So I think you just flip it. What are we going to get out of it? And they're going to be different looks. You got to think from what we know between UConn and Providence, and I'm excited to get a bit of a different feel after the stretch of BC, UVM, Northeastern that's been somewhat consistent, though.
Sam, then Stewie.
Have you been able to kind of debrief more and just kind of figure out kind of what happened in the third period last night?
We've started the process. I'm curious. I'm excited to hear from the players. I kind of tasked the captains with, softly prompting the group. I don't think we need to make it more than it is, but I want them to be curious about it because obviously fatigue, first and foremost, was the obvious factor. But how did that show up in different ways? And we've started to talk about that. It's not just your physical ability, it's decision making, regulating emotion, et cetera. So I think, yeah, we started being curious about it, but I don't think it's we got the win. There was a lot of good. And how do we just take the controllables and add them?
Earlier in the season, when you guys went on your big win streak, a lot of the players talked about how, in terms of the external context that you mentioned, like that being a big motivating factor and not necessarily a stressor. So, coming into this weekend, you guys are a 5-game win streak. Is it sort of the same theme going on there of using that to motivate rather than ignoring it and focusing on the game one game at a time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know for the girls, I'm sure they're aware of it. I haven't even really put thought to the streak, to be honest. I think we're all kind of in that home stretch, and I think we've realized we've put ourselves in a good spot. It's kind of like, well, why not go for the best possible, placement going into this, right? I think that belief is building in the group and confidence, and I think it's more like the excitement of, okay, just how far can we take this? Like, how good can we set ourselves up in playoffs, and how can we have home ice as long as possible? So I think knowing that the opportunity is there for us to like really see how far we could push this is more the mindset right now.
Eli?
This is probably a question better catered to the players, but I just wanted kind of your take as well, maybe from back when you were playing. But Lisa Jonsson catches with her right hand, and that's kind of less common for sure than say the other way. So it's just as a player, just like does that change your philosophy when it comes, shooting the puck, or is that something like you guys maybe notice or take note of kind of thing?
I think you should if you want to score goals, that's for sure. And I don't think the goal scoring element of the women's game is as focused on. It's something that we're pretty passionate about using our goaltending coach to flip it and think about how do you not just generate shots but score. And it's one of the biggest differences I think you saw on us from yesterday that was better than the Bean Pot final. We had the most quantity shots I've ever seen from the outside over and over again that were getting swallowed in a lot to the glove. So yeah, I think it's yeah, having the bandwidth to say what works on this goalie. And we did it way better yesterday. I joked with our righties. I'm like, it's finally your time to shine. You got low blocker on your side for the first time, and Claire, you took advantage of it, that's for sure.
Sam.
Yeah, obviously, 5-0 since the Bean Pod final loss, and that loss was kind of the end of like a rough stretch. Like, was there a moment, during practice, like after that loss, or like just anything that someone said that kind of made you realize, like, yeah, like they're gonna be fine, even though that was kind of like, I guess, like a low point of the season?
I think probably 3 minutes into our first Holy Cross at Holy Cross game. But no, I think we had some internal stuff going on, and funny, our accountability system played out so that we held ourselves accountable as a group that had nothing to do with our loss. So it allowed us to kind of check in on our standards organically, which was nice. I think without being able to give you all the details, that probably was the biggest thing that allowed us to reset and not get consumed by one game and realize like, okay, our system's gotten us here. We need a reset in general. It's not about the loss. What do we learn? How do we go? And then I think I heard it from our captains, just they believe that we can win. And I think that helped them reset. And it was a big difference from last year.
Sam again.
Have you talked to Alex since she scored that goal? And just like, I guess, how important do you think that's going to be for her? Obviously, it's only her second goal of the year.
I haven't seen her yet today. They had a lift on their own. I told the players they wouldn't have to see me if they don't want, but just to give them a break. But the girls are happy. The bus was on fire last night, yeah, Ashley. But the girls are happy for her, and obviously a big moment that was big for the group.
Eli?
I guess just what does it say about your group that, you guys were cl pretty clearly on your heels yesterday late in the game after, down for the first, say, 45 minutes. of the game that you guys were able to kind of, relock in, retake the momentum and, come away with the victory?
Yeah, still being curious about that for sure. It was unique. Like as soon as Northeastern tied it, I almost feel like we saw themselves again. Like they were just kind of like, well, we're nothing to lose now. They just tied it. Might as well go back to work. So I think we're still obviously a very young team, and being where we are against our opponents and being competitive and making pushes in big games against good opponents. So I think we're still learning a lot about ourselves. And that was a unique moment for us. I think one of the first that's happened all year, holding on to a lead like that we were struggling. So I think that was a good situation we can learn from that's new. But I think building confidence over time, the overtime against Harvard, I think fuels confidence because we had that experience. And at the end of the day, it always comes back to your net. And I think, how do you not have confidence in front of Callie how she was playing?
Sam.
Yeah, last one for me. You're looking at the standings in hockey East. It's kind of become sort of a two horse race for the one seed between you and UConn, right? And it's kind of interesting because the championship game is held at UConn's place no matter what. So I'm wondering, what are some of the tangible things that having the number one seed will actually help you, as opposed to if you were to get the number two seed and they had the number one seed, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely a unique setup for a tournament for sure. I mean, the pros of a predetermined site, obviously, and getting the awareness out there. But yeah, taking away that home ice that, the teams were fighting for previously. But I mean, last change, it's always the home team advantage, that's for sure. And just playing in your rink as long as possible, even just through the semis, is a benefit, no doubt. So I think all of that. But like you said, the home ice at the end of the day isn't there. But selfishly, sometimes too, as a coach, you look at it and you don't have the stress of tickets and all the craziness around campus, right? You get out, get out of Dodge and go in a game.